Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And warm welcome to Brother Sanjeev and all the visitors joining, and also Sister Sudha's mom joining us this morning as well. Welcome. And how about as we come to study the Word of God, as we just sang, break the Word of God, the truth, the living Word. As we have all sung, may this be our prayer this morning, the Lord may continue to minister our hearts through the Word. As we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, return with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we shall read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 from verse 1 to 4, and then we'll move towards verse 36 onwards. So we'll read these verses vice versa. I shall read verse 1. And if you could read verse 2, and we'll read vice versa. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made the name of the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain the Levites to minister before the Lord, before the ark of the Lord, and to record thanks and praise to the Lord of Israel. Now we move to verse 36 of the same chapter. And I shall read for you. Bless the Lord, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Verse 37. So you left there before the ark, covenant, God answered, and his brethren to minister before the ark continually as every day. And obeyed Edom with their brethren, 80. Obeyed also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosha to be porters, and Zerah the priest, and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high places that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offerings continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. And with them, Haman and Jeduthun, the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by the name, to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endured forever. And with them, Haman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals, for those that should make a sound with musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people who had their Let's also turn to just one verse, to Book of Amos, chapter 9, as you turn to the end of the Old Testament, after, as you pass through Hosea, and you have Book of Amos, chapter 9. This is written about 300 years after the passage we read from verse 11, Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins. I will build it as in the days of old. Shall we read that together again? Verse 11. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up the ruins, and I will build it as the days of old. Then they possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, and doeth this. May the Lord bless the word of the reading, and may the Lord bless every soul which hear the word of living God. As we come back to Chronicles, if you remember in the past few months, been looking at the presence of God, and briefly looked at the time in Exodus, briefly about tabernacle, right? We were looking the last time, character of Obed-Edom. And as we briefly look back in times of Exodus, tabernacle means a tent. It's God's dwelling place. And God dwelt when people left Egypt 40 years in a tent made by human hands. But the instructions, how to make this tabernacle, what is in the tabernacle, were all written. If you read from Exodus 25 to all the way to Exodus chapter 32, you have clear instructions. And you also read in Numbers 4, in the Levites' clan, who has to carry it? You know, there were Kohathites, there were Gershom, there were Meraris. They all were given different tasks, right? If you recollect, some were given tasks to fold the curtains, some were given tasks to take care of the frames, and some were given tasks to carry the ark. Do anybody know who can carry the ark? They were Kohathites. If you recollect, in 1 Chronicles 13, we read, David had a desire to bring the ark to Jerusalem. David made a first attempt to bring the ark. The desire was great. But what did he go wrong? He did not get who was to... He brought the ark in a new cart, right? If you remember, the sons of Abinadab touched the ark and he instantly died. So 3 months, the ark stayed in the house of Obed-Edom. So when we're reading this account from chapter 16, the ark is right now in Obed-Edom's home. When we look back about the tabernacle at this time, there's also one more place. There's a worship center going on. If you verse 39, you read, there were two high priests at this time. One is Zadok, the high priest, and one is Abiathar. And Zadok, high priest, was given the task at the tabernacle place called Gibeon. So Gibeon, there was already a worship center, but now the ark itself is coming back to Jerusalem. The ark is a symbol of the presence of God. If you recollect, the God's glory, the Shekinah glory, the presence, dwelt on the mercy seat. What was the primary purpose that God gave this tabernacle? In Exodus 25:8, God was clear. The tabernacle was given. Build me a tabernacle that I may dwell among my people. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. Even when we've been reading Revelation 21, in new heavens and new earth, the tabernacle of God dwells among men. The heart of God remains that he wants to be in the midst. He wants to have relationship with each one of us. And he said in Exodus 25:22, I will meet you at the mercy seat. And that's the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God. For many years, in times of Saul, this ark was placed in a place called Shiloh. And if you recollect, Brother George was bringing to us from the thought of Eli. If you remember, to Eli and two sons, those two sons were wicked. And they took this ark to the war. What happened? If you read in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6, the Philistine stole the ark and took back to Philistine. If you read, do you know how many months in Philistine it had? 7 months. And the idols of Philistine, the Dagon, when they kept the Ark of the Covenant in the room, the Dagon just fell down overnight. And they broke the shoulders, the head were broken off. Now as we come, as we see from Philistine, it came back to a place called, the Philistine sent back the Ark. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, you see the ark remain in a place called Kirjath Jearim in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. For 20 years. And since then, it got moved to Obed-Edom's home. And now David is bringing the ark. Brothers and sisters, we are looking at a very historical event which took place in the nation of Israel about 3,000 years from now. It's a historical day because the Ark is coming to city of David, which is Jerusalem. This is just not an event which will be taking for that day. As you read through the Ark, the worship center being in Jerusalem, which the temple will be built by Solomon later. And as you move ahead in the days to come for the church, in times of millennium, this will be the worship center, when we will all go to worship the Lord in Jerusalem, when we are resurrected, when we live on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Now, as we come to chapter 16, you read that the ark was placed in the midst of the tent in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I want to just take back a little bit about, we read about the tabernacle of David, right? This is always known as tabernacle of Moses. But as you read through, even in Acts chapter 15, you read tabernacle of David. We'll look into it briefly later. What is the tabernacle of David? You know, if you want to know, get into deeply into knowing what is tabernacle of David, we need to understand the time, the heart of people, the heart of David, as we're just reading these passages, what happened at this particular time, and how the ark was worshipped, and how the ark, the presence of God, the people gave reverence. As you just go back chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 15, you see, verse 1 says, and David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared the place for the ark, and pitched a tent. When we say David prepared a place, it's believed this ark was placed just next to his palace. And he bought this ark when he understood Obed-Edom's host was blessed. He wanted to bring the ark to the city of David. Now, he chose about 4,000 or more worshippers. You see from verse 22, from all the way to verse 29, you see he prepared the people, the Levites, to bring the ark in the way it has to be brought. And David, in verse 25 of chapter 15, and David and the elders and the captains, over thousands, went to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom. And as they brought, as you see, David, verse 27, he was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And you see, there were songs with singers, David and Israel, and there were, verse 28, they brought up the ark of the covenant with the Lord with shouting, with joy, with sound of cornet, with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harp. Let's just turn a few passages back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And you see the same account written in verse 13. Verse 12 of chapter 6. And David and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and they brought the ark in verse 13. It was so when they had bay the ark of the Lord had gone six places, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with sound of the trumpet. Just take a pause and just think about what is happening in the city of David. The nation of Israel have gathered. They brought all the music instruments, the drums, the cymbals, the psalteries. There is also Obed-Edom with the harps. David, with all his joy, he's forgotten he's a king. His heart is to just worship, clapping and moving ahead with the crowd. There was a great joy. there was a great sound of joy, sound of worship. And no wonder God says David is a man after God's own heart. He had a wonderful worship heart. I mean, we've been reading, we read today, one of the Psalms, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord. David had a great revelation. If you read Psalm 16, verse 9, 10, 11, David says, you will not let my soul be forsaken in hell. Let's read that Psalm. Psalm 16, if you have it, you could read it aloud. Psalm 16, 9, 10, 11, it says,
for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your holy one to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence, fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures.
Thank you. What a great faith. An Old Testament saint has this faith that one day I will raise again. One day my soul will raise and I will see. There will be a time, as we read a few verses, David had a great promises from God. As we read through many passages, even as we sang, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He had a great gratitude to acknowledge a shepherd boy who had become the king of Israel. As we just read from 2 Samuel, what happened every six steps? They were getting the ark. Every six steps is offering a sacrifice of an oxen. You go six steps from Obed-Edom's home to city of Jerusalem, an oxen was sacrificed. You saw in 16 verse 39, he said to Jeduthun and Haman, verse 42, that you shall sing, verse 41, his mercy endureth forever and ever. He ordained them, you sing in front of the ark, your mercy endureth forever and ever. Every time a sacrifice was made, it had a meaning. The mercies of God. God will offer a sacrifice for us. God paid the sins. A substitute paid my sins. Every six steps, they worshipped. Now as we come back to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1, you'll have to note very importantly, where was the Ark of Covenant placed? It's placed in the midst of the tent. Midst of the tabernacle, midst of the tent. You see, this is very different atmosphere to the tabernacle of Moses. You remember tabernacle of Moses? We don't have time to go in detail about the holy place, the most holy place, the gates, you know, how they had to wash the hands in the basin, how they had to come to the exact right gate. It was solemn. Only the Levites could worship. But now you see Israel has just gathered and worshiping, and the ark is in the midst of the tent. No other time you see in the passage where people were given access to the presence of God. No other time you read till now where people of God could worship this way. No other time you see the worship which took place in the city of David, Jerusalem, which will now become not only in the times of David, not only in the times we are looking, there's much ahead. God has promised for this particular place, the city of Jerusalem, which will also, the church will also be involved in the days ahead when we are resurrected from the dead, which I'll share with you a few verses there. Now, this is a unique heart. You know, many people which did differently, when Uzzah touched the ark, he died. If you do in tabernacle of Moses, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, bought the fire from a strange fire which they were not supposed to bring, and they died. But here you see David had a heart for God, to worship God, to bring people to God. His heart was right. God acknowledged. God blessed this worship. And we are looking at a passage, the tabernacle of tent. I will build the tabernacle of David, which is fallen. That was written 300 years after reading this passage. By the time of 300 years, you know what has happened to the kingdom of David? It's collapsed. It is a time when Isaiah, Amos is in the time of Isaiah, about 700 years before Jesus. We know how the kings failed. The covenant of God failed. They all went back to Babylon, right? They became in bondage again. But God is telling, I will raise the tabernacle of David. I will rebuild one day. Now, as you see this chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and as you continue to read from verse 40 onwards, David instituted a new order of worship. You read what verses from verse 37. So they left therefore the ark of the covenant of the Lord of Asaph, the brother and minister, before the ark. What do you see? Continually. Continually. No gap. And as you see from verse 40, you see the burnt offering unto the Lord upon the altar of the offering. Continually. Morning and evening, they were all assigned a job to worship the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Verse 6 of the same chapter, you see Benaiah and Zehiel, the priests, the trumpets continually before the ark of God. What a day and what a time Israel went through. Continuous worship, 24 hours, morning and evening. The people gathered, they had access, and they worshipped. There was great joy, there was acknowledgement. They acknowledged, they wanted to worship God. Even this morning, brothers and sisters, what a great privilege is it to come to the house of God and to just bow down and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. I know many of you use different words in singing with words. The tabernacle of David, God has established. We as a Gentile today, as a church, are able to worship the God of Israel, Jehovah God. As we come back to, let's go back to a New Testament where we see again the tabernacle of David in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. So just as we looked at briefly, we're looking at tabernacle David where there was a worship, great time of worship. There was access to the people of God. Where they were, ark was in the midst of the tent of the glory of God, and people witnessed a great time. So as we come to Acts chapter 15, we're looking at an early church, very early church. Jesus has risen from the dead, and Cornelius, you know the story of Cornelius, a Gentile, Peter preached, went to the home, he saw, witnessed, a Gentile became a Christian. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Paul and Barnabas went to various places. They saw Gentiles repenting, receiving the gospel, and the Holy Spirit transforming them. We also read today, Matthew brought from the next chapter later, where Paul went to a prisoner who got saved. Now there came a dispute in chapter 15. Certain men from Judea came and said, verse 1, except the circumcision after the manner of Moses, he cannot be saved. And there were many, many thoughts from different, there was a council called. In this council, as you read the whole chapter, you see there's Paul, there's Barnabas, there's Peter, this James at the time. And they shared what had happened to the people of God. But they are trying to bring this yoke, the yoke of law. They're saying, unless you have this keeping the law of Moses, if I and you was to live in 2,000 years ago, if I was to have this all this law, they were bringing this thought, you can't be saved. But see here the verse in verse 15. And now we see James standing up and he shares this verse of chapter. And to this agree the words of prophet as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of man might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Know not God, are all the works from the beginning of the world? Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned, but write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from the things strangled from blood. Whenever we have a dispute in doctrinally, the best thing to do is go back to the Word of God. James did the right thing. He went back to a scripture written from the book of Amos. He read about verse 11. The heathen who are called by my name, they will also be coming to the Lord. Henceforth would we trouble them not from among the Gentiles. Thank God that we don't have to keep the law. They read, it is only by faith alone, by grace alone, one could be saved. If they had changed this, when Matthew read the next chapter of Acts 16, when the jailer had to be saved, Paul would have had told, you have to have faith, you have to have grace, and then you have to keep the law of Moses. But the Bible says, by works, none of us can be saved. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Christ has done all the work. As even Brother Arun brought, it is finished. All the work on the cross is finished. All we do is believe. Believe, repent, and receive this great gift of salvation. So now here, brothers and sisters, we look at the church. The beginning of church age. Here we are 2,000 years ago, seated here. 2,000 years ago, we are looking at an account of the beginning of church age, where the James is relating the tabernacle of David, that worship which has fallen will be rebuilt, which has began, and we are even enjoying today. And the Jews and Gentiles all are in church, right? There's nothing called a Jewish church. There's nothing called a Gentile church. If a Jew has to be saved, he has to come to the cross. If Jew has to be saved, he has to believe as Jesus, as Messiah, the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself for him. So the Jews and Gentiles all together in the church. No wonder in John's Gospel chapter 4, verse 22 to verse 24, a very familiar portion when Jesus met a Samaritan woman. He said these words. When the Samaritan woman said, I will go to Jerusalem to worship. But Jesus said, the time is coming and has now come. When Jesus, woman, believe the hour cometh, when he neither worship in the mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship center, yet worship he not. That what he worshipped for the salvation is of the Jew, but the hour cometh, the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeks such worshippers. Now, brothers and sisters, I would like to take you back to one of the promises God gave to David and to his future. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And these are the prophecy of God to King David through prophet Nathan. This was told to David when David wanted to build a house for the temple for God. And we read in verse 11, "And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, have caused thee to rest from thine enemies, also the Lord telleth," verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I'll set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with stripes with the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away, as I took from Saul." Verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." There are prophecy for King David's future. There's a prophecy about a seed, a kingdom, which will live forever. The seed here is King Jesus, who came from the tribe, of Judah, from David. You know, as you read Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, very carefully the Lord took the time and all the analogy given, genealogy given, from time from Adam all the way to Jesus, from Joseph. And then also in Luke's Gospel chapter 3, you read the genealogy of Mother Mary, who came from Nathan, who was the son of David. And then you see Solomon, the son of Joseph, in 1 Matthew. The seed here, a kingdom, which will be forever and ever. We read many verses this morning that the Lord reigns forever. We also have a promise in verse 16. "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." And this is after David dies, as we read. As we come to Isaiah chapter 9, book of Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6 and 7, a very familiar great prophecy of our Lord Jesus, where "unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And verse 7, "Of the increase of his garment and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order and establish it, judgment and with justice." Jesus will be the King of kings from the throne of David. Brothers and sisters, as we look at these promises, that David's throne, David's kingdom. Today, David's kingdom is a fallen kingdom, right? But in terms of spiritual kingdom, as a human, as a son of man, Jesus was known as Son of David. His kingdom exists through the in line of Jesus, but also there were promises for King David. Solomon, and then later the kings failed. But now you see there are verses in Bible. There are many verses in Bible in the Old Testament written about the future millennium, about King David and his life. Now when we look at, say, about the word millennium, what is millennium, right? There's no word called millennium in the Bible. When you turn to Revelation chapter 20, you look at, this is the only particular portion where it's written about the time of millennium, when it starts. The very next thing the church is looking forward, which could happen any time or any day, is being caught up in the air, which is called rapture, right? Say it was for 7 years before tribulation, or even, as you believe, some believe, 3.5 years. Say it was 7 years. We are with the Lord in heaven for 7 years, right? When we have rapture, the Lord does not come to planet Earth. We meet up in the air. We are all transformed. If I am dead, the dead in Christ will raise up. Right? Corinthians, we read, the dead in Christ will raise with their transformed body, a glorious body. And then we will be with the Lord. And then we've meditated, Brother Matthew brought about Bema judgment, which is for the believers. There will be a reward ceremony. And most important in the time, there will be the wedding of the, we are the bride of Christ. And then we know from the scriptures, at the second coming, which is very clear, it is at the end of tribulation, you read in Old Testament as Jacob's trouble. Israel will go through a lot of terrible times which you never heard, never seen. The world will go through great tribulation, which is called Jacob's trouble. For 7 years of tribulation, and the Lord will descend from heaven. Every eye shall see, every eye shall know. No more to say, no more to preach. He is the Savior. Everyone will know. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, you see Israel will weep on that day, during that time. They will repent as if they've lost their own son. They'll weep and they'll repent and they'll turn. There will be a remnant of Israel. Now, when the second coming happens, the church is coming back. We, the church, who are caught up or dead in Christ, is raised. We are coming back with the Lord. We come back with the Lord to rule and reign and to serve for how long on this planet Earth? We read it here in Revelation 20. You read from verse, we won't read from verse 1 to 6, but I would like to emphasize the time it's written is 1,000 years. And you see at verse 1, the angel came down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And you read verse 2, that Satan was bound for 1,000 years. And then you see in verse 2, he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After he must be loosed for a little while. And verse 4, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded of the witness of Jesus for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such a second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, in the time of millennium, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9, you read, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. David my servant, David my king, I will raise him up from the dead. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 24. And I the Lord will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I the Lord has spoken it. Brothers and sisters, there are many verses and promises in Old Testament, more than New Testament, about the times ahead, about the times of millennium. We're looking at a prophetic word of King David, who will be raised from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. This is the faith of every soul, every believer in Christ. the first resurrection. Is the day dead in Christ will raise, second has no power. Here we see that before the millennium, we see the verses about King David being raised, and he has also been given a task to rule the nation of Israel. God is the Lord of hosts, he's the King of kings who will rule the whole world. But King David, with others, will reign. That's why Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, one more prophet who said, if you have it, you could read it aloud, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Thank you, brother. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. The saints will rule with King of Kings. The church, the overcomers, as we read in First Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2, he who overcome, I will make him to sit. I'll give him the power and the authority. Now as you read in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, verse 3, and many people shall say, go and say, mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital center, the worship center in millennium. Chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11, one of the great chapters as you read from verse 6. This is a picture of the 1,000 years in planet earth. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion with fatling, a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together with lion and eat the straw like the ox. The animal kingdom will be changed. They will all be herbivores. No more wars. No more killing each other. A little child can go and put into a snake den, can play with a lion. A picture of holiness of the Lord. Picture of justice. Picture of righteousness. And you see in verse Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be the king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name. 16 and 17 it says of the same chapter. It shall come to pass, everyone that is left which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year after year to worship the King of the Lord God of hosts, to keep the feast of tabernacle. Isaiah 66 and verse 23. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23 says, and it shall come to pass from one new moon to the other, from one Sabbath to the other, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Ezekiel Habakkuk 2:14 says, the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth. It is beyond our mind to just grasp the promises of God. These are all yet to happen. These are all written in Old Testament times. The king will rule all over the world. All the nations shall come to worship, as we read year after year. We said, Jerusalem will be the worship center where God will establish. The Gentiles and the church in millennium, worshiping God, serving God, reigning with God, As we turn to Revelation chapter 2. And verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they grow in. Chapter 3, verse 21, Revelation. To him that overcometh, I'll grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in my throne, in his throne. The time is coming, brothers and sisters, as we look ahead. This is just a prelude for the new heaven and the new earth. 1,000 years before, as Brother Matthew is bringing the new heaven and new earth, it is more beyond what you can think. Age after age. Remember, the life God is giving you is everlasting life. You may think 1,000 years is a long time. But in a time like this, remember, you're all transformed to a new body. How much is 1,000 years in God's way of looking one day? Our minds will be beyond what we... It's not a human mind. It's beyond what you can think. It is the tabernacle of God with men. God's desire to dwell among us. Tabernacle as of David, which was fallen, worship. As we read, the worship will be never ending. 24 hours, 7 days a week, the worship will happen. Nations will come to Jerusalem to worship God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name be praised. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, to the church, know ye not, you shall be judging the world. To the church. You see in verse 3, know ye not the church, that you shall be judging angels, it says. I mean, what are we? No wonder we could just say, oh Lord, what is that you're mindful of us, oh Lord? Made of dust? Sinful, wretched, but this is what God has planned. I have a plan for you. Planned not to harm you, but to give an expected end beyond what you can think of. Now, brothers and sisters, knowing all this, is there anyone here this morning, seated here, has not received the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation? All this God has taught. God sent his only Son that none should perish. All have eternal life. If you're not in this place, the only other place the soul lives is eternal hell. We read it, Brother Matthew took us in the portion, the body will be made like that, you will suffer in hell. None should perish, but all have eternal life. All through faith, as we read in James telling to the church, the tabernacle of David as a Gentile coming, not by works, not by keeping circumcision, not by doing any good works we could please God, but only through faith, only by grace, through faith we are saved. It is a gift of God. How could you value this gift of God? Knowing all these great things, great blessings, let us be like David's heart. What was David's heart? Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4, we read, this was his one heart. One thing I have desired, that I will be in the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David had a deep desire for God. May this be our prayer, our future when we live in this planet Earth. May this be one desire, one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. As you look at the things in the world, fallen world, the times of coming, when these things happen, look up, your redemption is near. Your redemption is near, very close. Desire to be with the Lord. Desire to be in His temple. Desire to be in His presence continually. And David's this desire will be accomplished. He will reign. He will be raised. It's not only David. All the Old Testament saints. Even Daniel. You read about the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 12, the last verse. You see, Daniel, you will rest and you will be raised up and you shall have your lot at the end of the days. All the Old Testament saints, they'll all raise before millennium. And they shall, the church and all the people of God will have the privilege to worship the living God, to serve the living God. So it is a great opportunity to enjoy the worship. The days of, as the last word I would like to finish from, return with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Book of Ephesians chapter 5. Paul encourages to the church of Ephesians that we may spend time wisely. And
redeeming the time of God that is early.
Speaking of yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart of the Lord. Do you know, brothers and sisters, you could worship the Lord 24 hours with truth and spirit. The Spirit of God lives in your heart. You're the temple of God. You could acknowledge worship wherever you are. Even the next 7 days, in the next years you live on this planet Earth, let's live wisely, as Paul reminds, reminding the verses, singing songs. Even when you're working, you have so much technology, you could just play, you know, have music on. You could have times you spend. And may the Lord help us to acknowledge and spend wisely and look ahead for the tabernacle of David, which for times we are enjoying with the church, and the times ahead. And the Lord may prepare the hearts. May the Lord bless the word. Let's pray. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us this blessed morning, to reminding us to praise you, the Lord, and praise the Lord, and reminding us of the tabernacle of David, which we have the privilege to understand, the living God. Father, we thank you for all the blessings, for all the prophecies you stored for the church. Lord, many things ahead, beyond our understanding. Father, we pray for any soul here, Lord, who do not know you, Lord, that you may have mercy and turn their hearts, and they may acknowledge the Savior, and you may have mercy on them. Father, we pray for dear brothers and sisters here, Lord. We pray, Lord, as you remind, to be wise in our walk, to remembering you, acknowledging you. Our life may be one purpose, one desire, that we may dwell and inquire of thee and behold the beauty of the Lord and worship thee all the days of our life and the days to come. And strengthen us and lead us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.